It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. I'm Mark Levonier. During radio's golden era, one of the most listened to and award-winning dramatic shows on the air was the long-running anthology series Suspense, which not only brought listeners to the edge of their seat, but invited many actors who weren't necessarily well-known in dramatic roles to show their skills in a kind of play that would put their reputation aside, or sometimes play off of it, and deliver a really entertaining half hour of radio. Later on, we'll hear a broadcast from the show called Murder in G-Flat, starring Jack Benny. Saying his name can either conjure memories of his hand to cheek and pretend shock, him playing the violin poorly on purpose, or maybe not knowing who he was at all, which isn't far from Benny's first words on the air in 1932 when he introduced himself to listeners by saying, "This is Jack Benny talking. There will be a slight pause while you say, 'Who cares?'" It was this brief appearance on Ed Sullivan's radio show that would lead to a legacy that was groundbreaking and truly iconic, as he took many elements of his popular vaudeville act to radio, where he stood tall for over 20 years with a cast that would much of the time get more laughs than he did. This was certainly a calculated move, where Benny would masterfully play the straight man to his wife Mary Livingston, program announcer Don Wilson, his valet Rochester, played by Eddie Anderson, bandleader Phil Harris, and singer Dennis Day, while they landed the lines during his program's heyday in the 1940s, when well over 20 million people were listening on Sunday evenings. Over the years, listeners adored the funny things he did to build his reputation on the air, like him being forever 39 years old to being cheap.
Hey, Bud. Bud.
Huh?
Got a match?
Match? Yes, I have one right here.
Don't make a move. This is a stick-up.
What?
You heard me.
Mister, put down that gun.
Shut up. Now, come on. Your money or your life? Look, Bud, I said your money or your life. I'm thinking it over.
Or for Jack Benny's violin, which in his vaudeville act he would hold the entire time but never play, though when he brought it to radio, at least the cast acted like it should have stayed on that stage.
No, Monsieur Benny. Every week you make the same mistake.
The teacher in that clip from 1948 was played by the legendary voice actor Mel Blanc, best known for his cartoon work. Also, for years, he filled in the gaps of hundreds of parts on Jack Benny's show, including another thing Benny was known for, his beat-up old car, the Maxwell. While much of the praise for Jack Benny on the air goes to his supporting players, Benny himself had expert timing. He had a way of making you crack up when he blew his top, and a warmth that drew listeners in by the millions, and later, viewers. With his movie appearances, extremely popular television specials, and his road tours that took him across the world. While his comedy wasn't exactly complex, it was that precision and sense of timing that turned something corny into something marvelous, or a moment of frustration into a work of genius. Let's hear a broadcast of his show now from a time when he was filming one of these semi-regular television shows, which the script was crafted around, from April 1st, 1951, on CBS.
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Benny is in New York City, and in exactly 30 minutes, he'll be doing his television show. But let me take you back a few days to Beverly Hills, where we find Jack at home getting ready for the trip.
Oh, Rochester.
Yes, boss?
Rochester, we'll be away 12 days, so I hope you've taken care of all the little details.
As usual, I had the gas, electricity, and water turned off, and I left a note for the milkman to stop delivery.
Good. What about the evening paper?
I left instructions on that, too.
You did?
Yeah, now when they're through with it, the Colemans can just throw it away.
Good.
Boss, maybe you ought to stop borrowing the Colemans' paper. I got a feeling they're trying to discourage the practice.
What makes you say that?
The last two issues came wrapped around their garbage.
What?
That tea bag Dick Tracy was holding last night was real.
No kidding. Now, take Rochester. Take my grips out of the car while I call Miss Livingston.
Is Miss Livingston going with us?
No, no, but she's feeling much better, and she'll be on our next show. It's Miss Livingston's sister I'm picking up.
Her sister, babe?
Yeah, she's going back to Plainfield on the same train we're taking. I'm gonna call her. Be happy, go lucky, be happy.
Hello?
Hello, Mary?
No, this is Miss Livingston's maid.
Oh, Pauline. Oh, this is Jack Benny. I didn't recognize your voice.
Well, it has been a long time.
That's right. Not since New Year's Eve.
Oh, you've taken me out since then.
Oh, yes, that drive-in movie. What a picture, huh?
Yeah. That was the first time I ever saw a picture at that drive-in.
You were never there before?
I didn't say that.
Well, the reason I called, I'm coming by to pick up Babe in my car. Put her on the phone, will you?
Okay. It's for you, ma'am.
Thank you, Pauline. Hello? Hello?
Look, mister, get off the party line till I finish.
Jack!
Come on, get off.
Jack, it's me, Babe.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, Babe... I just called... Babe, I just called to tell you I'll pick you up in 15 minutes.
Couldn't you make it a half hour? I'm all ready, but I have to put on my lipstick.
Well, why should that take a half hour?
Well, it's a special lipstick, and it takes longer to put on.
Oh.
But it's worth it. I've been using it for 12 years, and it doesn't smear.
Oh, is it kiss-proof?
Who knows?
You read that beautifully. Well, try and hurry. Rochester's getting the car out now.
Okay, Jack. I'll rush it. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Rochester, we'll pick up Miss Livingston's sister in about 15 minutes.
Are we going to pick up Mr. Harris, too?
No, he's going with his piano player, Charlie Bagby. I hope they're not late.
You got everything packed, Bagby?
Yeah, maestro.
Well... In less than an hour, Bagby, we'll be on that super cheap going to New York.
We've been on so many trains. Which one is a super cheap?
Well, you ought to remember the super cheap. That's the one you fell off.
No. That was a cheap.
You better wait for laughs, kid. No, Bagby, the cheap is the one they threw you off. Or was it the El Capitan?
No, the El Capitan is the one they wouldn't let me on.
Oh, yeah.
Say, Phil, how much money are you taking along for expenses?
I don't know.
How come you don't know?
I don't know how much money I'm going to take. Alice hasn't given it to me yet.
Oh.
Look, Bagby, you know something? You ought to get married, too.
Me?
Yeah, you ought to settle down and give up your bad habits like gambling, staying out half the night and drinking.
What are you trying to do, ruin my character?
Well, it's too late for your character, but there still may be a fighting chance for your liver.
I guess so. You know, Phil, it's too bad Remley couldn't make the trip with us.
Yeah, I thought he'd be over that virus by now.
Well, it's his own fault. He shivered and shook for 3 days. Why didn't he call a doctor?
Well, he didn't know it was virus. He thought it was the usual thing. Well, let's see. I wonder if I got everything.
Are you taking any books along to read on the train?
Books? No, I'm off books.
Why?
Well, I just finished the one I started last January, and I was kind of disappointed in it.
What's the matter? Was it dull?
No, it was exciting enough, but it was unbelievable. Imagine a giant living in a beanstalk.
Hey, that's the book you borrowed from me. When are you going to get it back?
You'll get it back. I want to look at them pictures again. Now, come on, Bagby, let's get going, huh?
Sorry I kept you waiting, Jack.
Oh, that's all right, Babe. It gave me a chance to talk to Mary. She feels pretty good now, doesn't she?
Yeah, she'll probably be back in your show next week.
I hope so. She needs the money, you know. Well, there's the car. Oh, babe, let me help you. Let me help you with your trunk, will you?
Thanks.
Gee, it's heavy. There. Now take it easy so it won't fall off your shoulder. Easy.
Now steer me to the car.
Certainly. Now watch it, watch it. Don't laugh, the trunk will fall off. A little to the left, a little to the right. Now just dump it in the back seat there. There we are. Now let's get in the car. Start the motor, Rochester.
Yes, sir.
Rochester, I can't understand that motor. Maybe there's some dirt on the spark plug.
There must be. There's some beautiful flowers growing there.
Darn this spring weather. Start the motor again, Rochester.
Yes, sir.
Well, there we are. Now we're on our way.
Jack, do we have to stop and pick up anyone else?
No, Phil is coming with Bagby, and Dennis is driving down with his mother.
Dennis, did you tell the cab driver where to go?
Yes, Mother, the Union Station.
Well, I hope we don't miss the train. What time is it?
It's exactly 1:15. Now it's 1:20.
That's the meter! Now, Dennis, remember what I told you. I want you to take good care of yourself while you're in New York. Watch out for pickpockets.
Oh, don't worry, Mother. I pin my money to my underwear. A little trick I learned from Mr. Benny.
Mr. Benny pins his money to his underwear?
Yeah, when he takes off his shirt, he looks like an artichoke.
I can imagine. Now, Dennis, what hotel are you going to stay at in New York?
Oh, the one Mr. Benny always takes me to, the Acme Plaza.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Dennis. You don't have to live at that dump just because Mr. Benny stays there.
Oh, I like the Acme Plaza, Mother. It's such fun. They play a wonderful game every morning.
Game?
Uh-huh. All the guests gather in the lobby and draw straws to see who's first in the bathroom. You know, Mother, I'm really excited about going to New York. This time I'm going to visit all my friends.
You have friends in New York? Who?
Well, there's Brannigan, Flanagan, Milligan, Gilligan, Duffy, McCuffy, Malarkham, Horn, Rafferty, Lafferty, Donnelly, Connolly, Dooley...
Ah! Shut up! Now, Dennis, it's all right to... Driver, turn around and watch where you're going.
Oh, please, lady, I only turn around because I recognize your son. He's my favorite singer.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Dennis, sing for the nice man.
Yes, Mother.
Oh, driver, you come back here and listen. I'll take the wheel. Okay.
Rochester, the light changed. You can go now.
Yes, sir.
Jack, why don't you buy a new car?
I'll tell you why, babe. Because they don't make cars today like they used to.
What do you mean?
Well, for instance, take a simple matter like the steering wheel. Today they make them out of plastic. But the steering wheel on this car is made out of seasoned mahogany with solid steel spokes.
Really?
Yeah, here, take a look.
Put that back on. For goodness sakes, Rochester, just tend to your driving.
Yes, sir.
Say, Jack, I meant to ask you, who are you having on your television show?
Gee, you read that beautifully. Do it. Do it again, babe. I want you to get used to radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Jack, I meant to ask you, who are you having on your television show? Yeah.
Well, babe, I managed to get three great guest stars. I'm having Claudette Colbert, Robert Montgomery, and Basil Rathbone.
Gee, that's wonderful. How did you get them to appear with you on television?
I sent them a telegram and signed it Senator Kefauver. And you know, babe, on Thursday, I'm going to be on the radio show Suspense. Gee, I'm so tickled. A blowout.
Rochester, aren't you going to fix it?
If we stop with those silly things, we'd never get anywhere.
Rochester, you better stop the car.
Jack, I'm afraid we'll be late. Look what time it is, 2:45.
That's the meter.
Yeah. Turn it off, Rochester. It's only us. We got plenty of time. Now stop the car and we'll change the tire. Well, we finally got to the station, babe. Let's go in.
Train now leaving on track 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga.
Come on, babe.
Gee, I'm ashamed to go on the train the way I look. Fixing that tire ruined my outfit.
Yes, there is a little grease on your T-shirt there.
Correction, please. The train scheduled to stop at Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga will only go to Anaheim and Azusa. Cucamonga was moved on account of the freeway.
Say, babe, you wait here in case any of the gang shows up. I'm going to get a couple of magazines.
Okay, Jack.
Let's see. What magazine should I get?
Can I help? Why, it's Mr. Binney.
Mr. Kitzel. Mr. Kitzel, I didn't know you worked here.
I don't. This is my brother's magazine stand. I'm just helping him out. The poor fellow got such trouble.
What kind of trouble?
Tomorrow, his wife's relatives are coming from the east to visit him. And today he gets sick with the intentional flu.
No, Mr. Kitzel. His flu is intestinal.
It's intentional. You should see his relatives.
Well, Mr. Kitzel, I'd like to get a couple of magazines. Let's see. I'll take Collier's and Look.
Collier's and Look. Here you are.
Attention, please. Trains now leaving on track 7 and 11 for Las Vegas and all points the hard way.
Well, Mr. Kitzel...
These trains are pulled by diesel engines.
Mr. Kitzel...
Roll 'em.
Well, Mr. Kitzel, it was nice seeing you. And I hope...
Oh, pardon me, clerk, but I'm in a bit of a hurry. Could you...
Oh, Don!
Oh, hello, Jack. I didn't see you.
And you didn't recognize me either, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, I must apologize, Mr. Kitzel, but I was in a hurry and I wanted to get...
Me, you don't have to tell what you want. Automatically, I'm reaching to get you some Lucky Strikes.
Well...
I've heard you say it so many times that lockies are so round, so slim, so fully packed. And they're so easy and they're free.
No, Mr. Kitzel, they're not free. You see, they're free and easy on the draw.
Oh, excuse me.
Thank you.
But, Mr. Wilson, I read where a recent survey in 38 cities showed that millions of smokers aren't satisfied with their present brand of cigarettes. Imagine all those people going around unhappy when all they got to do is change to Lucky Strike. This, to me, is sad.
Oh, it really is.
Sure, here's your Lucky Strike.
Thank you.
take them and be happy. Go lucky, be happy. Go lucky, strike, be happy. Go lucky, and thank you for the sale. Bully, poo, 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 poo.
Well, Mr. Kitzel, and Don, excuse me, I better get back to bathe.
Attention, please. Train now leaving on track 8 for Barstow, Albuquerque, Kansas City, Chicago, and Cucamonga. They really moved it.
Babe, did you see any of our gang?
No, did you?
Only Don, and he was in a hurry.
Hiya, bud. Long time no see.
Huh? Oh, hello. Come on, babe.
Who was that?
Oh, that's that tout. He must have been here for the Santa Anita races. Oh, look, here comes Dennis and his mother. Hello, Mrs. Day.
Hello. Hmm. Now, Mr. Benny, once my boy gets on that train, he's your responsibility.
I know.
And when you get to New York, I want you to take better care of Dennis than you did the last time. Don't be taking him to that place called Minsky's.
Minsky's?
Why, Jack, you didn't take Dennis to a burlesque show.
Babe, Minsky's happens to be the name of a delicatessen. Isn't that right, Dennis?
Yes, sir.
See?
Oh, Mr. Benny.
Yes?
Remember that third salami from the end?
What? Now, come on, kid. Let's all get on the train.
Wait a minute, Jack. I want to get some chewing gum.
Some chewing gum? I'll get it for you, babe. You wait right here. See, I mustn't forget to get my ticket validated, too. I'll do it right after
I... Bun.
Huh?
Come here a minute.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Look, fella.
Where are you going?
I'm going to buy some chewing gum.
What kind?
Spearmint.
Uh-uh.
What?
Get bubble gum.
Bubble gum? Why?
It's great in the stretch.
Well, I don't know. What about chiclets?
Chiclets haven't got a chance.
Why not?
They're boxed in.
But I like chiclets.
Now, be smart, bud, and take bubble gum. Just look at the breeding.
The breeding?
Yeah. It's by penny on a slot machine.
Oh, well, I don't care about that. I'm going to get spearmint.
Okay, it's your dough.
Gee, look what time it is. I won't have time. I'll get some gum on the train.
Hey, Jackson!
Huh? Oh, hello, Phil. I'm glad you got here in time. What's that you're carrying under your arm?
Bagby.
So soon?
Oh, he's sober. I owe him this for carrying me last night.
Oh, well, you better get him on the train.
Hey, Jackson, by the way, you forgot to get Bagby's ticket.
I did?
Yeah.
Well, here's mine. I'll get myself another one. I'll see you on the train.
Attention, please. Will passengers who just arrived on the train from Catalina please get in your taxis? You're dripping all over the station.
Now, let's see. Now, here's the ticket window. Oh, pardon me. Are you the ticket clerk here?
Yes. I used to be at Pasadena, but they moved me on account of the freeway.
That's very funny.
Thank you.
Attention, please. He stole that joke from me.
Now, look, clerk. Now, let's not have any trouble here. I want a ticket to New York.
Return trip?
No, one way.
Good.
Now, cut that out. I'm coming back by plane. So just do what I...
Excuse me, sir, but may I go ahead of you? I'm in a hurry.
Well, yes, I guess so.
Well, you see, I'm just going on my vacation for 3 weeks, and I don't want to waste a minute of it. Clerk, will you give me a ticket?
Yes, sir. Where to?
Oh, I don't care. Any place is all right with me.
Well, the next train out is going to Nashville, Tennessee.
No, not there. I don't want to go back to that state again.
Why not? What happened there?
Well, I'll tell you. I was dancing with my darling to the Tennessee Waltz. When an old friend I happened to see.
And you introduced him to your loved one?
Yes. And while they were waltzing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me.
Well, why don't you try to forget?
Forget? I remember the night in the Tennessee Waltz. Now I know just how much I have lost.
Look, mister.
You keep out of it. Just what did you lose?
Well, I lost my little darling the night they were playing the beautiful Tennessee Waltz.
Well, what are you crying for? You're number one on the hit parade.
I told you to keep out of it.
I'm sorry.
Well, look, how about a ticket to Banff?
Oh, yes, that'll be swell.
Oh, you'll enjoy it there. It's very close to Lake Louise.
Oh, no. I can't go there.
Why not?
Louise was the name of my little darling.
Oh,
the one I was dancing with to the Tennessee Waltz when an old friend I happened
Look,
to...
Look, one chorus is enough. Now, clerk, give me my ticket, will you?
Attention, please. The following trains are now ready to depart. The Super Chief, the El Capitan, the City of Los Angeles, the Golden State Limited, and the Lark. There they go. Super Chief out in front, City of Los Angeles is second, Capitan is third, the Lark is fourth, and Golden State Limited.
What is this?
Going into the turn, it's still Super Chief by a headlight, the Lark is second by a dining car, El Capitan is third by three compartments in the bedroom, and coming up past the City of Los Angeles on the rail.
What is this anyway?
Coming into the half, Super Chief is still out in front. City of Los Angeles is second by a Pullman. And coming up in third place is the Lark, with the engineer using the whip. And coming up fast on the outside is Mary's Sister Bay.
The Jack Benny Program from April 1st, 1951 on CBS. You are listening to the Door to Suspense Hour on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark Levonier. Jack Benny's long career put him in a lot of places in what seemed like endless comedy situations on the air and screen, but like many comedians, the allure of playing against type in a drama was always inviting, which is why he jumped at the chance to play the lead on radio's Suspense four times between 1948 and 1954. In 1953, one of the episodes he starred in seized on the popularity of science fiction shows of that time, casting him as a Martian in the play Plan X. But his first appearance on the show was actually in the role of himself to promote his famous move from NBC to CBS Radio.
We all want to hear you next Sunday night on CBS. Your program has always been on my must list, along with Suspense.
Well, thanks, Bill. By the way, what about next week's Suspense?
Next week, radio's outstanding theater of thrills presents Gene Kelly and Ethel Barrymore in To Find Help. Another gripping study in...
Bill, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me say it, will you?
Huh?
You know, that one word. Let me say it.
Oh, well, sure, Jack. Next week, hear Gene Kelly and Ethel Barrymore in To Find Help. Another gripping study in...
Suspense! Who said I can't do drama?
A few months before Jack Benny's first leading role on Suspense, the singer from his show, Dennis Day, actually appeared in a Christmas-themed episode of Suspense. And though it's unclear if Day encouraged him to be on it or not, what seems to be clear is that Benny scheduled his first appearance on the show to coincide with a broadcast we heard just a few moments ago to take advantage of his travel time in New York, filming his television special, performing his radio show, and 4 days later making his debut on Suspense in the play Murder in G-Flat, from April 5th, 1951 on CBS.
Autolite and its 96,000 dealers present Suspense. Tonight, Autolite brings you a story of treachery and greed. A story we call Murder in G-Flat, starring Mr. Jack Benny.
Lieutenant, in here, sir, in the rec hall.
What's he doing in the rec hall?
Well, he thought he'd tune the piano while I was waiting, Lieutenant.
Sunday night. Why couldn't you guys pick a better night than Sunday night? My one day off, and I have to come down.
Sorry, we had to call you, Joe.
This the guy, huh?
Yeah. Hey, you. That's it. C flat. If I had my wrench. This is the lieutenant. Oh. Oh, I'm sorry, Lieutenant.
Name?
Oh. My name is Remington. Hercules Remington. That's it, Joe. We checked.
Huh.
Pardon me, Lieutenant, but my wife, Martha, is going to be awfully worried. You see, I haven't seen her since this morning. They told me...
You haven't seen your wife since this morning?
No, and I thought that if I could phone her and at least tell her where I am...
Where'd you pick him up?
Coney Island, Joe. He called us from there. Yes, and I should have called my wife, too. Look, Lieutenant, I don't want to seem persistent about this.
You'll have plenty of time later to call your wife. Now, give the lieutenant the story in detail, just like you told it to me on the way down here to the station. What kind of work do you do, Remington?
Well, I'm a piano tuner, Lieutenant. Yours is out of tune. C-flat, Lieutenant. See, if I could get my bag, I'd tune...
Look, Remington, I haven't got all night. Now, either get on with your story or I'll have...
All right, Lieutenant. But I really would like to call my wife first. Start your story. All right. But if there's any explaining to be done to my wife, you guys will have to do it.
We'll be happy to. Now, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, Lieutenant, this whole mess started yesterday morning, Saturday. I got up, had breakfast with my wife, Martha, and my Uncle Herman. He's my black sheep uncle of the family. He's a carnival man, came to work at the World's Fair here, and has been living with us ever since. I think he ought to pay at least one-third of the rent, but Martha, well, she feels sorry for him. Anyway, I left the house around 10 o'clock on my way to the Lippin Ridge School of Music. I usually tune their pianos on the first Saturday of the month, you see, because there aren't any classes there on that Saturday. I catch the BMT at 57th and get off at Union Square. Well, yesterday morning, I got on the subway, just like I always do. I carry a little ordinary brown bag with all my tools in it and usually lay it right next to me under the seat. I was just sitting there thinking hard, wondering how I was going to meet the bills at the end of the month when a man sat down next to me. He shoved something under the seat and just sat there staring ahead. B-flat, D-flat, B-flat, D-flat, B-flat, D-flat.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I got carried away for a moment. Four stops later, the man got up, reached under the seat, pulled out a little brown bag, and started for the door. I remember noticing he was bald-headed and wearing big black horn-rimmed glasses. For a minute, I thought he'd stolen my bag of tools, but I reached my hand under the seat and found my bag was still there. I remember sort of chuckling to myself, thinking of the coincidence that he'd been carrying the same type of bag. Well, anyway, I got off at Union Square and walked up to the Lippin Ridge School of Music on 14th. There are four floors there, you know, a piano on each floor, and I usually start at the top and work my way down. Well, since the school doesn't have any classes on Saturday, the place was deserted. That one's sour. Yeah, D flat. Well, I'll soon have that in shape. What the... I zipped open my bag to take out my tuning hammer and my wedges, but there were no tools in my bag. The tools were gone, and in their place were bundles and bundles of crisp $10 bills. And then it hit me. The little bald-headed man on the subway. the man who sat down next to me. This bag belonged to him. He picked up mine by mistake. There was no name on the bag, no identification of any kind. I started counting one of the bundles. Each bundle contained $1,000 in $10 bills, and there were 25 bundles. I had just come heir to $25,000. When I got home, Martha was washing some clothes out on the back porch, and Uncle Herman was rolling pennies for his pitch penny concession. I called both of them into the living room, pulled all the shades down, closed and locked all the doors, and set the bag on the table.
Hercules, what are you doing back home so soon?
What kind of nonsense is this, nephew?
Martha, Uncle Herman.
You look awful pale.
I guess I do.
Hercules, what's the matter with you?
Listen to me, both of you. I'm rich.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Hercules, act your age.
I'm not lying to you.
Look, I gotta get out.
You must be sick.
Look, will both of you be quiet for just a minute?
Sounds like he's drunk.
Are you sick, Hercules?
Look, I'm not sick and I'm not drunk. I've got it right here.
You've got what?
Look.
Wow.
Hercules.
Now do you believe me? Now do you believe I'm not sick or drunk? Look at it. $25,000.
$25,000? That's a lot of money.
Hercules. Hercules, where'd you get all this money?
I found it.
Found it?
Found it?
Yes.
Listen to me, Hercules Remington. Don't you lie to me. Where'd you get all that money?
If I tell you the truth, I know you won't believe
it. Well, tell me anyway.
Well, all right. Look, this morning I got on the subway, just like I always do. And some little bald-headed man with black horn-rimmed glasses sat down next to me. When he got up to get off the subway, I noticed he was carrying a brown bag, just like mine. At first, I thought it was mine. But mine was still under the seat. Anyway, when I got to the music school, I opened my bag, and all this money was in it. Mm.
Sounds fantastic.
Hercules.
But it's the truth. The little man picked up my bag by mistake. I searched this one for some identification, but there isn't any.
Then you mean the little bald-headed man has your bag with the tools in it?
I guess he does.
It seems odd that anyone would be carrying this much money around in a little brown bag.
Odd or not, the fact still remains that I didn't steal it.
Well, I guess there isn't any way that you could get a hold of this man, so we'll just have to turn the money over to the police.
The police?
Yes, I said the police.
But why?
Why? Good heavens, Hercules, you don't expect to keep this money.
Why not?
It isn't ours.
Why? Why isn't it ours? I found it. I didn't steal it, Martha.
Hercules.
Martha, don't you see? Maybe this is fate. Maybe we were meant to have this money. Maybe if
you're crazy. You're out of your head. You're talking like a madman, and I won't have it.
But, Martha...
But you didn't come by this money, honestly. It isn't legally yours.
Now, wait a minute, Martha. Maybe Hercules is
Now, you stay out of this, Uncle Herman. Hercules, you're going to take this money to the police.
No. No, I'm not. I'm not going to take this to the police or anyone else. Do you understand me? I'm not going to take this money to the police.
Hercules, I don't understand you at all. But mark my words, you'll pay for this.
Well,
don't pay no attention to her, nephew.
But why does she have to be that way? Why can't she understand me just this once? Why can't she see my side of it? See, I didn't steal this money.
No, you didn't, nephew.
And I'm going to keep it.
Sure you are, nephew. Sure you are. You're going to keep it.
You bet I am. The next morning, that was this morning, Sunday... Martha wouldn't speak to me at all. Her eyes were all red and puffed up. I could see that she'd been crying. And Uncle Herman wasn't doing much talking either. Martha just kept sniffling as she puttered around the stove. Martha, my peach isn't peeled.
Peel it yourself.
But I...
Here, I'll peel it for you, nephew.
Thanks, Uncle Herman. Martha, please, won't
you
try...
Don't you talk to me.
Now, don't be too hard on him, Martha. After all, a man's got a right...
I told you once, Uncle Herman, you stay out of this. It's none of your business.
Sorry. She's plenty mad.
Well, ain't you gonna answer the phone?
Hello?
Mr. Remington?
Yes?
Hercules Remington?
Yes, who is this, please?
I want to return your bag of piano tools to you, Mr. Remington.
I believe
there was a slight mix-up. I believe in my haste I picked up your bag instead.
But how did you find me? I mean...
Oh, it was quite simple. There's only one piano tuner with the initials HR in New York City.
Well, what do you know?
You do want your piano tools back, don't you, Mr. Remington?
Listen to me.
I don't think you'd like the idea of not being able to tune any more pianos.
What?
And I'd like to have my bag returned.
Of course.
As soon as possible.
Yes.
Tonight.
Tonight?
At 9:30 tonight. Meet me at Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden?
At 9:30 at the 49th Street entrance. The door on the far end will be left slightly open. And please be prompt, Mr. Remington, with my brown bag. You see, it will displease my business partner considerably if he finds I've lost the bag.
Well, all right. The 49th Street entrance, the door on the far end.
Hercules, what's wrong? Well, you're as white as a ghost.
I am?
You sure are?
I guess I should be. That was the little bald-headed man with horn-rimmed glasses, Uncle Herman. I've just lost $25,000. Uncle Herman went in the living room to read the Sunday paper. I went in the bedroom to tell Martha about the phone call. But she wasn't there. In fact, she wasn't anywhere in the house. She was gone, and I figured that she'd probably gone over to her sister's house. I was so nervous the rest of the afternoon, I couldn't eat a thing. I left the house for Madison Square Garden about 9 o'clock. From riches to rags in about 24 hours. And I was back riding the subway. I walked up 8th Avenue to the garden. I turned and walked up 49th Street to the entrance and stopped. Sure enough, one of the doors on the far end was open a little, just as the little man had told me it would be. I slipped in through the open door. It was pitch black. I couldn't see a thing.
Hello? Hello? Anybody here? Hello? Is there anyone here?
What the? I stumbled over something and almost fell. I struck a match and looked down at a body. The body of the little man in horn-rimmed glasses. His head was all covered with blood. I started to blow out the match, and then something caught my eye. Lying next to his body was my brown bag with the initials HR. And next to the bag, covered with blood, was my tuning hammer. Who had killed him? But I couldn't stop to think about that now. I had to get out of there and fast and take my bag and hammer lying on the floor with me. I started to reach for my bag when a sound, G-flat. Someone had opened up a knife. Whoever was coming toward me, I blew out the match and waited. Who was in that corridor with me? Was it the business partner of the little man? Was it... I started to move backwards, and then a big black figure loomed up at me. With all my strength, I brought the brown bag swinging up from the floor. I ran until I thought my legs were gone. My mind was all fogged up now. I couldn't think straight. Who was the guy who just tried to kill me? One thing I knew for sure, I had to get rid of this money until I could think things out. But where? Where could I get rid of it? I neared the corner of 59th and 8th Avenue and then saw it. A bus terminal. Why not? A public locker in the bus station. I opened the door and walked in.
Philadelphia, leaving in 10 minutes?
Yes, ma'am, in about 20 minutes.
Excuse me, mister. I'd like to have a key for a locker.
Just a second.
G sharp.
What'd you say?
Oh, nothing.
What do you know? Haven't got an empty one right now. Have to wait a little while.
You mean out of
all of these hundreds of lockers, you haven't got one empty?
Oh, I'm sorry, mister, but you can see for yourself. A lot of servicemen in town over the weekend.
Well, how long will it be?
10, 15 minutes. Maybe a couple hours.
Okay, I'll wait. I'll sit over there. I bought a paper at the newsstand and sat down on one of the benches. I didn't even know what I was reading. I just kept... And then I saw it. On page 2. A complete account of a robbery that had occurred on Friday night at one of the downtown post offices. 2 bandits had escaped with $25,000 in $10 bills. This was it. It must have been. But would the police believe a story like that? Of course they wouldn't. I had the money, and it was my tuning hammer there, lying next to the body in the garden. I got out of that bus tournament in a hurry and walked up 8th Avenue. Where could I go? The only place I could think of was Coney Island. Coney Island and Uncle Herman and his pitch penny concession. It was late, and the island amusement park was almost deserted. It was cold and close to 11. Uncle Herman was leaning against the side of his concession as I walked up.
Why, nephew? What are you doing out this way?
Uncle Herman, quick, let's go in back.
All right. There ain't no customers anyway. Yeah. Now, what happened, Hercules? Did you give the money back to the man?
I went to meet him at the garden, just like he told me. But when I got there and I found him, he was dead.
Dead?
He'd been beat over the head with my tuning hammer.
Why, Hercules.
I was just about to grab my hammer and bag and get out of there when someone made a lunge at me in the dark. But I got away. I went to a bus terminal to put the money in a locker. I had to wait. And then I read that the money is stolen post office money.
Oh, you got yourself in a mess, nephew.
I'm frantic. I don't know what to do. That's why I came here.
Well, I'm glad you did, nephew. Glad you did.
But what am I going
to
do?
Best thing would be to go back and get that hammer and bag. Leave the money here. I'll hide it for you.
But maybe I ought to go to the police.
You can't go to the police with that story. They'd never believe you, Hercules.
I know,
Bring your bag and come with me, nephew. I got a hiding place for that money that no one will ever find.
Uncle Herman locked his place up, and then he led me over to the funhouse. It was closed now, and the place was all dark. But Uncle Herman had a key. He led me up some stairs to a high ramp that people climb on, you know, to slide down the big chute. He stopped at one of them.
Here, nephew. Right under this top chute, we'll just pry one of the boards loose a little and slip the bag with the money underneath. No one in the world will ever look for it. There we are. Now, give me the bag, nephew.
Here you are, Uncle Herman. Are you sure that no one will find it here?
Absolutely, nephew. You and I are the only ones who know where it is.
Well,
there's nothing to be afraid of. Now, hand me the bag.
Here you are.
That's it. Now, let's just check to make sure that...
What's the matter, Uncle Herman?
Where's the money, nephew?
The money? What are you talking about? It's in the...
Is this what you call money? Or this bag's got nothing in it but bundles of torn newspaper?
I don't understand.
Hercules, dear nephew, what did you do with the money?
I don't know. It was in there. You saw it yourself when I brought it
home. This a scheme of yours, Hercules?
Scheme?
Trying to cheat on your dear old uncle, aren't you, Hercules?
Uncle Herman, what are you talking about?
Where's the money, Hercules?
G-flat. That knife. G-flat.
This ain't no time to play games with your Uncle Herman, Hercules.
Uncle Herman, where were you tonight?
What's that, Hercules?
G-flat. Your knife. It's G-flat.
Looks like this thing has got you going, Hercules.
It was you in the garden, wasn't it, Uncle Herman? You killed him.
Let's not waste any more time, nephew. Now tell me where that money is.
I don't know.
Stop lying to your dear uncle, Hercules.
I'm not lying.
I usually use this knife to scale fish. The smell of fish is stronger than the smell of blood.
But I tell you, I don't know where that money is.
You're lying to me. You came down here just to throw me off, didn't you? Make me think you lost the money.
Uncle Herman, stay away from me.
All right, Hercules. So you won't tell your dear uncle.
He rushed at me with the knife. I stepped back, tripped over the board he had pried loose, and fell down. But Uncle Herman... He went hurtling over me, head over heels down the long slide. And I got back down at the bottom of the slide chute. He was dead.
The uncle had his neck broken, Lieutenant.
Yeah. What about the money?
Well, Mr. Remington's wife turned it over to the authorities this morning about 11 o'clock. She said the money wasn't his and she didn't want him carrying it around.
Well, I guess that'll be all, Mr. Remington. You can go now.
But isn't it dangerous? I mean, the partner is still...
We picked up his business partner a few hours after the robbery.
Oh.
But just in case you happen to come across another $25,000 that doesn't belong to you, promise me that you'll get in touch with the authorities, will you, Mr. Remington?
Oh, I've learned my lesson, Lieutenant. Believe you me, I have.
Yeah, good.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, I almost forgot. I gotta call my wife. She's probably frantic by now.
There's a payphone right outside in the corridor.
Payphone?
Yeah, right around the corner. You can't miss it.
Hmm. Well, she's waited this long. I think I'll just tell her when I get home.
Suspense from April 5th, 1951 on CBS. Closing this Door to Suspense hour on Tuned to Yesterday featuring Jack Benny. Be sure to be with us again as we enjoy more great shows from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier.